Hi, good morning. Thank you all for coming. I first just want to disclose that I have no conflict of interest. So here is an outline of what I'll be discussing today, a little background on Ethiopia and unsafe abortion, a little bit about our comprehensive abortion care pilot project, the question of my research, the methods and analysis I did for my project, and then the results and implications, some limitations, recommendations, and of course, acknowledgments. So first, some background on the study. Safe abortion is not available in most places in the world. Worldwide, WHO estimates that 20 million unsafe abortions are performed each year. It's one of the leading causes of maternal mortality, and there are 80,000 maternal deaths globally each year related to unsafe abortions. In addition, there's hundreds of thousands of disabilities worldwide that can be attributed to unsafe abortion. And as you can see, this disproportionately affects the developing world, and specifically Africa. A little bit about Ethiopia. It's a very influential country in the region, and it's committed to reducing maternal mortality through the WHO Millennium Development Goals that states that by 2015, Ethiopia will reduce their maternal mortality rate by three-quarters from the current 650 per 100,000 live births, which is one of the highest maternal mortality ratios in the world. Additionally, the abortion law has shifted in this country, making it an ideal place to pilot more comprehensive and safe abortion services. It's important to understand the background on reproductive health in Ethiopia. It's a country with a very high fertility rate and very low utilization of modern contraception. 68% of women who seek abortions do so to space out their children or because they do not want children. And the rate of contraceptive availability and use is not keeping pace with the decline in desired family size. So there's an unmet need for fertility regulation, which has led to a higher need for abortion services in the country. In Ethiopia, 58% of abortions are considered unsafe. 62% of women who receive abortions are admitted for complications, and it costs a huge amount in both human suffering and to the health infrastructure of the country. In 2005, there was a shift in the abortion law in Ethiopia. So now abortion is legal if you are under 18, if you are a victim of rape or incest, or if an abortion could be life-saving. And the key is that now it is up to a woman to decide why she needs an abortion. However, often even with legal shifts, there's little change in clinical practice due to limitations in resources and access to services. So out of this recognized need, a parent study was developed, and I'll tell you a little bit about the parent study. The Comprehensive Abortion Care Pilot Project was a joint effort of the Bixby Center at UC Berkeley, Venture Strategies, and the Tigray Regional Health Bureau. And the overarching goal was to work together to reduce morbidity and mortality related to unsafe abortion, to pilot this comprehensive program, and to introduce the comprehensive strategy at all levels of the healthcare system. So this is a picture of northern Ethiopia, and these are kind of outlining all the sites that participated in this study. So the pilot ran between June of 2009 and September of 2010. Over 35 health facilities participated in the pilot, and nearly 7,500 women were reached during this time. So you might be wondering, what is comprehensive abortion care? So there's four components, the first being safe termination. So surgical abortion, otherwise known as manual vacuum aspiration or MVA, is available. And now medical abortion using drugs, the drugs misoprostol and mifepristone, is now available as well. Women who are treated can also get treatment for incomplete abortions, so it's essentially a safety net for women who have complications during their termination. There's then a referral component for those who need elevated levels of care, and travel vouchers provided to allow for effective referrals out of the community setting. And finally, there's contraceptive counseling, which aims to increase birth control uptake and ultimately reduce the abortion rate. Additionally, there's a social campaign piece that was kind of sent out to the public broadly that stated, if your period is missing, go to the health post for help. Don't take matters into your own hands. So to give you an idea of what a woman's experience in the program might be like, she would initially present to her local health post where a health extension worker who was trained would assess her medically and determine the gestational age of her pregnancy. She'd then be referred if there were any complications or if she was of advanced gestational age. Then she would receive her termination either through a medication abortion or a surgical abortion if it was required. And again, she could be referred for complications at any level. She would then return home, complete her medical abortion, and two weeks later, she could return to the clinic for a follow-up appointment and then the exit interview. And that interview was where the data from my analysis came from. So the exit interview was an optional interview, and about half of the women in the pilot project chose to participate. It was a 60-question survey using validated questions addressing satisfaction and acceptability. It was a face-to-face oral interview with a trained provider who was not the same provider who gave services to the woman, and it was given in as private a place as possible at the follow-up appointment. The exit interview addressed overall measures of overall satisfaction and then measures of satisfaction related to exams, pain management, and counseling throughout the entire process. And from the information collected in the interviews, I hope to answer my question of what factors affected women's acceptance of and satisfaction with the provision of medical abortion in the community setting. A little bit about the methods I used to analyze. I ran two logistic regression models looking at satisfaction with provider and method type, controlling for various demographic and reproductive variables. And ultimately, we included 1,700 women in the analysis. And some results both from the pilot project and from my analysis. During the pilot project, treatment of incomplete abortions decreased dramatically during the study period. Almost none of the initial contacts by the end of the study were for incomplete unsafe abortions initiated outside the program in the community. There was a significant reduction, nearly 60%, in bed occupancy in the women's health ward of the main hospital in the eastern region. And through an extensive community-based project mapping births and deaths in the region during the study period, it was determined that despite a 20% loss to follow-up rate, no women in the region died from abortion-related causes during the pilot program. And now to look at the demographics. The mean age of my sample was 23, and the majority of the women had some education. A majority identified themselves as single, and there was a mean gestational age of 9 weeks, which was lower than expected, and we think can be attributed to the success of the message of the program to come to the clinic as soon as a woman realized that her period was missing. This was beneficial both to the women and the providers because there's less risk involved in termination at an earlier gestation. For most participants, this was their first abortion, and approximately half of the women had used a contraceptive method before. But interestingly, about 95% of the women reported that this was an unintended or unwanted pregnancy, which is a testament to the lack of family planning services in the area and the unmet need for comprehensive services. We then looked at some measures of satisfaction with the method by method type. So here we have three questions on method satisfaction, and we also and here we have the methods that women used. So here are the questions, and then the three different colors are the three different methods. So the first is surgical abortion in gray, and then the yellow and red are medical abortions using different medication regimens. And the results were clearly very good. Women reported that side effects were acceptable with all three methods. They reported that they would recommend the method to a friend who was seeking services. And generally, women reported that they would choose the same method again if they had to, except in the case of surgical abortion, where only 22% of the women said that they would use the same method again. Then we looked at three measures of satisfaction with provider by provider type. So those are three questions about providers, and then the different colors of the different providers. So gray is nurses, yellow are health officers, and red are doctors. And generally, again, the results were very good. Most women reported that they were totally satisfied with their provider. A vast majority would recommend the same provider to a friend. And most seemed satisfied with the pre-procedure counseling. However, fewer were satisfied with the counseling provided by doctors, as you can see there. So generally, this is what is to be expected when you have a novel, comprehensive program of this nature in an area that has been historically underserved. So women are grateful to be alive, they are grateful to no longer be pregnant, and generally, they usually report high satisfaction with the services. But we hope that we could elicit more nuanced information through analyzing the many different measures of satisfaction that we had in the survey. So we did some exploratory analysis of each satisfaction measure and found a few key measures where there was some variability in satisfaction. We then built two regression models using the key measures as proxies for provider satisfaction and method satisfaction. So as you can see here, the outcome variable, the time I was able to spend with the provider was a bit too short. in our model using analyzing provider satisfaction, and we found that women who were attended by doctors at the hospital had 10 times the odds of saying that the time with a provider was too short as compared to those attended by health extension workers in the community setting, even when controlling for demographics and reproductive variables. So this is a mixed result. It's good to hear that the health extension workers are doing a good job in the community, but it's not good to hear that the doctors aren't doing as well as the health extension workers. Then we looked at satisfaction with the method using the outcome variable, I was worried or afraid to be at home during part of the termination. And this variable was important because we want women to be confident enough to self-medicate at home, to manage side effects, and to know how to react and find assistance if there is a complication. So a couple of statistically significant findings came out of this analysis. Women of higher gestational age had a 1.5 higher odds of saying they were worried or afraid than those with lower gestation. And again, we see the doctor effect, that women attended by doctors have 22 times the odds of saying that they were worried or afraid as compared to women who were attended by health extension workers. So here we are concerned again that the doctors need to approve their pre-procedure counseling. Additionally, we're concerned that counseling for women who are 10 plus weeks gestation, because they're at higher risk for complications and therefore need to be especially prepared for home administration. Another interesting note in this analysis was the protective effect of being in a suburban or rural area. So women from the two more rural regions have lower odds of being afraid or worried during their termination at home as compared to those in the urban region, making the case that health extension workers and health officers are doing a better job of counseling in the community setting, and the women are feeling less worried or afraid about medication abortion than they are about surgical abortion in the urban hospital setting. And these are all good things that we were hoping to find in the study. So there are some limitations to this study. There was a selection bias in my sampling. Some women did not come back to the follow-up appointment, and therefore we are unable to ask them about satisfaction with and acceptance of the services. And we're left to wonder, who are these women? Are they possibly the most vulnerable or the most dissatisfied group? We have to be concerned about whether or not women felt they could be honest when answering the questions in the exit interview. Were they answering the questions in a way that they thought they were supposed to? We tried to ask about satisfaction in many different ways and have the interviewer be a different provider than the person that gave services to the woman, but that wasn't always possible. This is also a pilot project, and it utilized sympathetic providers in a particular region where there was political and social buy-in. And so we wonder whether this model of care will be successful and acceptable in other regions. And then finally, these results are not generalizable. If we roll out to a greater service area, we'll need continued assessment of satisfaction and acceptability. So to summarize, we feel confident to say that women were satisfied with the comprehensive abortion care provided, and specifically, they were satisfied with the well-trained health extension workers in the community setting and with the provision of medication abortion. We feel this program model has the potential to reduce abortion-related morbidity and mortality in a manner that is satisfactory and acceptable to the women seeking services. And our recommendations moving forward are that there be a greater emphasis on provider training in regards to counseling, and that providers are trained to counsel in more depth and for longer periods of time in order to reduce fear and increase satisfaction, especially for doctors providing services. So, finally, I would just like to acknowledge the women who sought services through this project, who were brave enough to then talk about their feelings and experiences with the services. I'd like to thank the Tigray Health Bureau of Northern Ethiopia for their support of the pilot, and I'd like to thank my principal investigator, Dr. Ndola Prada. Thank you very much.